Good morning, everyone. How are you all? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to put this here. 10:18. You know what? I'm going to go off the reservation a little bit this morning. I hate doing this, but I feel, you know, sometimes you feel like the Spirit's telling you to do something. Did you know something? Like, you guys matter. You're important. Vanna, you're important. You really matter. Anna, you too. Anne. Johnny and Sunil. Phil and Anne. Jeremy. You have to excuse me for a minute. I don't know what's going on. This is our family. Man, I'm going to like kick myself later, I promise. You know, this when you have those times in worship where God just does something, you know. It's really helpful if you're not preaching straight afterwards, you know. Yeah. Thanks. Anyway, I do have a message to bring this morning. So, where were we? Anyway, you matter, you know why? Because I'll give you three reasons. If you ever doubt yourself, if you're ever not sure, you matter because God made you in His image and in His likeness. And you know, I thought for a while that God made us with the purpose of stewarding creation. But thanks. This is like the first time this has ever happened to me, ever, and I'm preaching at the moment. The thing is, God made creation for you. I thought He made us to look after creation, but He didn't. He made creation for us to enjoy. You matter. And you know, like, another reason. Jesus died for you, you know. That's a big thing. God made creation for you to enjoy. For you to know Him. For you to look after it. He made you in His image and His likeness. To represent Him on the earth. And Jesus, even though we stuffed it up, God made himself man, made himself his own creation, humbled himself even unto death for you. And the third reason is actually what I'm supposed to be preaching on today, if I ever get there. You know, you matter because we need you. I need you. You need me. You need each other. Come on, can you leave me alone? I've got a job to do. So what I was going to preach on, that's what I'm going to preach on. We're going to go through the book of Ephesians in the next, I don't know how long, we'll wait and see what God does and how long it takes, but we're really excited about it. Ephesians is like, Pastor Matt likes to call it God's master plan for the church. And I agree with him. It's an incredible letter. And if you know one church, if you're here for the first time today, you're probably thinking, what the heck is going on? I promise you, I'm never like this. But, yeah, I'll fool you in a bit. At One Church Perth, if you remember here, you've been through Divine Connection. You know that we're a church who work by assignment. We believe in covenant relationship. We believe we're in a spiritual war. And these are three things that define us as a church, I think. They make us different in a lot of ways. And all of this was pulled from Ephesians. Ephesians is a book that defines us as a church. And it's such a privilege and an honour to really be digging into this, and I'm really looking forward to it. But to start off with today, there's the message I want to introduce. I'm not starting from chapter 1 today. The message I wanted to bring is you matter because we need each other. We cannot do this without each other. You cannot do the Christian walk in isolation. You physically cannot do it. It doesn't work like that. It was never meant to work like that. Trying to do it like that, you're just kidding yourself. Can I get you to open, actually, in your Bibles to Acts chapter 19? So basically, what I wanted to do to start off with is, it's just to have a bit of a snapshot of Ephesians. So Acts chapter 19, this is Paul in Ephesus. So to give a bit of context to this message as well, if you haven't been for a few weeks, we talked a little while ago about the fact that God made us in his image and in his likeness, and he did so, and his first command to us was to go, multiply, spread out across the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. That was the first thing he ever said to humans. And so that leaves us as human beings with a responsibility to look after the planet, to look after creation. We are God's representation in creation. Big responsibility. And we talked about that in the sense of, why do we sing on Sunday mornings? And that's because God put a creative force in our mouth, the tongue. We're made in the image and likeness of God, who speaks and stars are born. And he made us with a creative force in our mouth. The same force that when you speak to demons and you tell them to leave, something without a face, something without ears, something that's not tangible, it leaves. When you speak to sickness in a person's body, the actual physical manifestation of a person's body will change. God put that in your mouth. And so as God's ambassadors, as his governors of this earth, we have a responsibility to sing, to declare his praises, and to put him back on the throne. we do spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare doesn't stop there, though. And we're going to go into that a bit. Pastor Paul brought a word last week. Who was here for it? It's pretty challenging. I got challenged. Who is the church? I am. That's the correct answer. I am the church. We are the church, but I am the church. You know, very challenging word. And so today, I want to look at Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 16, just to unpack that a little bit. Yeah, and that's awesome. But what we're going to do, first of all, Acts 19. Let's just read it. And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples, and he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "No, we have not even heard of there is a Holy Spirit." And he said, "Into what were you baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." So Paul said, "John baptized with a baptism of repentance, telling the people who believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. There were about 12 men in all. And he entered the synagogue, and for 3 months spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way before the congregation, he withdrew from them, and he took the disciples with him, reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus, and continued for 2 years, so that all of the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. And God was doing extraordinary miracles at the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had been touched by his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. And when some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "I adjure you, by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims," seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this. Sorry, left out the quote so it didn't quite sound right. "I adjure you by the Jesus who Paul proclaims." Seven sons of the Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this. But the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know and Paul I recognize, but who are you?" And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered them all, and then overpowered them. And they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks. And fear fell upon them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled. Also, many came of those who were now believers, came confessing and divulging their practices. And a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted the value of them, and they found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. Now, after these events, Paul resolved in the Spirit to pass through Macedonia and Achaia and go to Jerusalem, saying, "After I have been there, I must also see Rome." And having sent into Macedonia two of his helpers, Timothy and Erastus, he himself stayed in Asia for a while. About that time, there arose no little disturbance concerning the way. For a man named Demetrius and a silversmith who made silver shrines for Artemis brought no little business to the craftsmen. These he gathered together with the workmen in similar trades and said, "Men, you know that from this business we have our wealth, and you see and hear that not only is Ephesus but in almost all of Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away great many people, saying that gods made of hands are not gods. And there is a danger not only to this trade, but to ours may come into disrepute, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis may be counted as nothing, and that she may be deposed from her magnificence, she whom all Asia and the world worship." And when they heard this, they were enraged and were crying out, Great is Artemis of the Ephesians. So the city was filled with confusion, and they rushed together into a theatre, dragging with them Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians, who were Paul's companions in travel. But then Paul wished to go in among the crowd. The disciples would not let him. And even some of the Asiarchs, who were friends of his, sent to him and were urging him not to venture into the theatre. Now some cried out one thing and some another. But for the assembly was not in confusion. For the assembly was in confusion, and most of them did not know why they had come together. For the crowd prompted Alexander, who the Jews had put forward, and Alexander, motioning with his hand, wanted to make the defence to the crowd. But when they recognised that he was a Jew, for about 2 hours they all cried out with one voice, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." And when the town clerk quieted the crowd, he said, "Men of Ephesus, who is there who does not know that the city of the Ephesians is a temple keeper for the great Artemis, and of the sacred stone that fell from the sky? Seeing then that these things cannot be denied, you ought to be quiet and do nothing rash, for you have brought these men here who are neither sacrilegious or blasphemers to our goddess. If therefore Demetrius and the craftsmen with him have a complaint against anyone, the courts will be open and there will be proconsuls. Let them bring their charges against one another. But if you seek anything further, it shall be settled in the regular assembly." That was a long read. But you know what you have now? Context. So I noticed four different types of people in there. There was, to start off with, there was the well-meaning believers who just needed a push in the right direction. There were the stubborn, stiff-necked, proud religious people. There were the people who were trying to wield the power of the name of Jesus Christ but didn't want to be counted in his number, in his church, in his body. They just wanted to use his power, and it didn't end well for them. And lastly, there were people who Christianity was a bit of a bother to them. It was an inconvenience. And so they hid behind agendas and false accusations and tried to get it to go away. Now, this is the thing. That sounds like a story that could have been told in Perth in 2016, doesn't it? We have all those types of people. You know, we are in a very similar situation. The people who need a hand and push along the way, Pastor Paul, he ministers to them regularly at the moment. You know, we've all met, or we've all been the stiff-necked religious people at some point. You know, we are all in danger of being like the sons of Sceva. Spiritual warfare is not a toy. It's not something to be taken lightly. And, you know, we can learn something from these guys. We'll get to that, though. And, of course, the people who find Christianity inconvenient. I won't name names, but you can. You know, and what's funny is that the devil's tactics haven't changed. What do? They just shouted, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians, great is..." Like, for 2 hours, they just shouted over the top of them. It's the same thing these days, isn't it? Anyway, so we're going to go through Ephesians chapter by chapter, and we're going to get some good outcomes from it. But today we won't be starting at the start. Can we turn now to Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 11 to 16. Now, this is a scripture that I, for a long time, read, and I overlooked it. Like, I read it and felt like it didn't apply to me. And it's the strangest thing. And what I've done here, you can see I've put a bit of emphasis. That's my little flourish, the red and the underlining bits. And this is why, is because it says here that, so these were the gifts he gave. Some were to be apostles, others to be prophets, others to be evangelists, others to be pastors, and others to be teachers. And at the time, I was like, well, I'm not an apostle. I'm not a pastor. I'm not by nature. I'm not a teacher. I'm not an evangelist. This doesn't apply to me. But then, I don't know how I missed it, It says their job is to give God's people the equipment they need for their works of service, and so to build up the king's body. You know, and I don't know why I didn't see that for so long. So the purpose of this is that they should all reach unity in our belief and loyalty in knowing God's Son. Then we shall have a mature and genuine human life, measured by the standards of the King's fullness. As a result, we won't be babies any longer. We won't be thrown this way and that on a stormy sea, blown about by every gust of teaching and human tricksters, by their cunning and deceitful scheming. Instead, we must speak the truth in love, and so grow up in everything into him, that is, into the King who is the head. He supplies the growth that the whole body needs. Linked together as it is held together by every joint which supports it, and every member doing its own proper work. Then the body builds itself up in love. So I just want to reiterate here that this is the situation that we're in. You matter. You're a human being, made in the image and likeness of God. Jesus died for you. You matter. You so matter. You know, like the assignment is still the same. We still have to look after the earth. And we're here in Merriwa. We're still an apostolic and prophetic centre for the nations based on a foundation of prayer. Our mission is to heal, train and send. If you're here, if you're a member of this church, that mandate is on your shoulders. Pastor Paul preached it last week. Who is the church? Who is the church? You know, and if we're honest, sometimes it can be the leaders are the church, or the pastors, or the church isn't the people, it's the building. That's how we associate it. But we need to start looking at this. Like, I'm the church, and you matter. And this is why. If you just go down to So verse 11, God gave gifts to the church, not just to one person, but to every person. To some he gave the offices of the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher to equip the saints. Okay, so the apostle, the prophet, evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher equals an equipped saint. You see, because each one of these people is going to unlock your life. And these aren't the exhaustive gifts, by the way. If you're not one of these people, it doesn't mean you're not important. I mean, it's Mother's Day today. How important is your mum? In some ways, they are the full package. They are the fivefold. You know, they set the foundations in your life. They warn you almost prophetically what will happen if you continue down this road. They teach you from a very young age. They're the best pastors you could ever get. They're almost the full package, aren't they? So if you're sitting there today and you're saying, well, I'm not one of them, you're wrong. You're wrong. To someone, you are. So equip saints. We all need to be equipped. Let's go back a minute and just read I don't know which verse it is. I didn't put the verse in. But as a result, we won't be babies any longer. We won't be thrown this way and that on a stormy sea, blown about by every gust of teaching and human tricksters, by their cunning and the skillful scheming. You know, he's used like three different analogies there. It's quite tricky to get your head around. I'm imagining this baby in a rowboat on a stormy sea while a trickster's trying to, I don't know. But anyway, you can get the picture. We need each other. We need each other. And if we don't lock in, it says here in the Bible that as a result, so the opposite, we won't be like babies any longer. We won't be thrown this way and that on a stormy sea blown about by every gust of teaching. You are susceptible to deception. You are like a defenseless, helpless child with the circumstances all around you that are dangerous that you can't control. We need each other. It's almost like here when you break this down. He says like the one thing and then he says the next thing. So it's like there's two ways you can go here. He says in verse, I'm going to find the verse. So in 13 he says, the purpose of this is that we should all reach unity in our belief and loyalty in knowing God's Son. Then we shall have a mature and genuine human life measured by the standard of the King's fullness. The genuine human life. Like, it's just, I don't know if it's blowing your mind how much it blew my mind. But, like, you matter, man. You're a human being. Like, do you know what that means? I wish you understood what God let me understand. You matter. Like, and Jesus is the head of the church. I'm a mess. I'm not communicating very well. I know this. I'm sorry. Jesus is the head of the church. We're going to grow up to be like him. That's what it says. It's a strange analogy again because you don't grow into your head. You know, babies sort of do. Have you ever noticed with a baby when they get born, they can't, like a baby, hands only go there, so they sort, you sort of do, but that's not what it means. Can you imagine? Like that would be the size of my head. But we grow into maturity. We grow into the head. Jesus is the head, we are the body. So when you look at Jesus, when you look at his life, when you look at the way he walked, the way he taught, his example that he set, the things he thought were important, that is genuine humanity. And you can't do that if you don't love people, man. It's so important. Yeah, instead we must speak the truth in love so that we grow up in everything into him that is the King who is the head. He supplies the growth that the whole body needs. It's by his grace alone we can do this. Linked together as it is, held together by every joint which supports it, and with each member doing its own proper work. That's how the body builds itself up with love. I feel like Pastor Andy today, you know, like he used to do this all the time. He would just like, man, I can't even think straight. Like, we're linked together as it is, held together by every joint which supports it, with each member doing its own proper work, then the body builds itself up in love. If you care about the people out there, if you care about your kids, if you care about yourself, if you care about your friends, then this is the charge. Grow up into your head. Grow into your head. Try your hardest to be like Jesus. And I promise you this. I reckon, I don't know because I'm not doing it, I'm trying to. But I reckon it would be a lot easier to live like he does than what you do currently. And I don't mean that as specifically for anyone, but I know we've all got places we can improve. But I think that if he promises the genuine human experience while we're on this earth, the genuine human experience, what were we created for? He promises us that if we follow him, if we do that, what more can you want? What else can you go for? What else is there? You know? We spend all our time doing a lot of things that don't matter in the end. He's offering us the genuine human experience. And so this is what you do. This is what the Bible says in Ephesians. It matters here. It matters at home. It matters at work. It matters when you're by yourself, when no one's around. How's your character? If I was to catch you at any given moment, would you be the same person you are at church today? You know? This is a rhetorical question. I'm not actually asking you that. I want you to ask yourself that. I had to ask myself that, you know? And the truth is, not in every area, every second of every day. I want to change it, I do. But this is the hope. This is what it's all about. This is Christianity. This is humanity restored. This is why Jesus died on the cross. You see, because it's, you know, I'm so sick and tired of the idea that Christianity is all about one day you'll meet God and he'll decide whether you're right with him or not. And then if you are, you go into heaven and then that's that. You go sit on a cloud or some angel or something like that. This idea that's just like it's just like a vine that's gone into so many people's minds. That's what it's all about. It's about me and my personal relationship with Jesus and me being holy. Those things are great, but it's not about that. It's not singularly about that. Your salvation doesn't happen the day you die. Your salvation happens the day you meet Jesus. Your whole life, every part of your life, every part of it can be saved. Doesn't matter what's going on, no matter what you're going through, I promise you, Jesus can fix it. He can. You know, I had about another 20 slides, but I've already gone over my time. And I don't know what happened to me today. If you've known me for longer than 5 minutes, you know this is pretty out of character for me. This is what I want to do. I mean, this hasn't gone anywhere the way I thought it was going to go, but this is what I want to do. If you are struggling with something, let me pray for you today. Let me put my hand on you. I don't know what it is. I don't know why it happens. It's happened to me, right? Let me pray for you. Is Daniel around? Can you play something, please, mate? This isn't what I thought was going to happen today. But it is what's happened, and I suppose it's just the way it goes. If you have something you're struggling with, let me pray for you today, please. If Jesus shows up for you like he has for me today, it'll be really good. It'll be really good for you, I promise. You come up whenever you want. You know, this message was actually supposed to be about the fact that There's no special people. There's no one who is special. You all are ministers. And you matter, and everything you do matters. Everything you do matters. Everything you do, everything you don't do has a consequence. It matters for you. It matters for me. It matters for everyone around you. It matters for the people you don't know. People you may never know. And I genuinely believe that eternity hangs in the balance for people. We need to understand that it matters. You need to understand that you could change someone's life through one encounter. There's so much I want to talk about spiritual warfare too. Like, you know, the thing is about spiritual warfare, it's not just the praying, it's not just the singing, it's not just that kind of stuff, it's not the waving flags. I love all that stuff. But spiritual warfare is when someone comes to you and they attack you. Maybe they make an accusation against you. Whatever it is they do, and you don't let it stick in you. You let it go straight through you, and you see the hurt in the other person. And you see where that came from. They didn't want to do that. They were hurt. And instead of firing back, you minister to that hurt. And it's hard, man. It's hard. But that's spiritual warfare right there. That's maturity right there. You can't do that without the right character. You cannot do that if you don't follow Christ with everything. If you are not serious about this, you will never do it. And you will meet people all the time. And you will encounter them. And they'll do things that get right on your nerves. And you fire at them. And you missed an opportunity, man, for spiritual warfare right there. Every encounter with a human being you have, you either minister the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of darkness. It matters, man. It matters. Last thing I want to say is that yes, Jesus has won. He's won. He won the victory for us. The start of that chapter in chapter 4. He says, live worthy of your call. Live worthy of your calling. Another thing about spiritual warfare, you want to know about it? You can give the devil back areas of your life where he can reign and rule in them. And believe me, you give them to him, he'll take care of them. Everything you do, everything you don't do matters. When you sin on purpose, or when you don't deal with your sin, when you have a character flaw that you know about and you're not addressing, you give that area back to the devil through agreements that you make. You know, it could be someone, you're right, you know, you're right to feel the way that you do. They wronged you. And you make an agreement with yourself that I'm right to feel this way. And you give that area of your life to Satan. And it doesn't stop there. It'll affect your marriage. It'll affect your friendships. It'll affect your family. This is how sin works, man. This is why the world is in such a mess and why it matters so much that those of us who call ourselves Christians, followers of Christ, take it seriously. Because there's a world out there that doesn't know any better. And they are just spiraling downwards, downwards, downwards. They don't know any better. You know, they think sex, drugs, rock and roll, popularity, fancy holidays, fancy cars. It's all about who dies with the most toys wins. You know, I'm going to get what's mine. And they're just wounding themselves, wounding each other. You know, why would you do the right thing to someone you're never going to see again if they've done the wrong thing to you? You know, it doesn't make sense. They don't know any better. If we do the same thing, what hope does the world have? You matter. You are the image and likeness of God. You have been restored to creation by Jesus Christ. I hope that's heavy. I hope you feel that in your chest, that responsibility. You know, sometimes it'd be easy just to not worry about it, but what's the point if that's how we are? I love you all very much. I really do. As a man loves his own body. You are my body. We're the same body. Jesus at the head. Do you know, we should do something. And you're all ministers here. Most of you knew me before I was even a pastor. And I've got to promise you, when you get ordained, you don't get superpowers or nothing like that. You don't get a sixth sense or anything like that. You're all ministers. Why don't you, if you're not here to be prayed for, why don't you gather around each other and pray and ask God, if you know there's some area in your life, if there's something that has resonated through this. I mean, I don't know what's happened. I don't understand. This is not the way I operate. But I believe through all the mess, something must have happened. If there's something in your life that resonates that you want to give to God today, I promise you, just give it to Him. Just give it to Him and you watch what happens next. Don't worry about figuring it out. Whatever it is. Can I ask, Is that okay? It's a bit unorthodox. Can we get into groups? 3, 4, something like that. If you're comfortable doing it, just confess what it is that God's put on your heart. If you're not, that's up to you. And pray. Ask God honestly. Ask Him fervently. You matter so much. Don't let anything stand in the way of what you were created for. After you've prayed, we can end the service, can't we? There's nothing else. Where's Yvette? She is. Okay. What might happen is Yvette might come and slap me for saying that. I haven't got a run sheet in front of me. But look, do business with God here. I always find that if I don't do it here at church when it's fresh, then I won't do it later at home. There's nothing stopping you here. Like I say, we're family. We're one body. Do your business with God here and leave it here. And then go out there, and I promise you, man, it'll be like you're walking out of a dark tunnel. I don't know how it works, but it works. Jesus is amazing.